we get to the new book, Blood Memory. I mean, we read the first two lines, and we get that you're the last of your line. Mm-hmm. Your poem, The Family Album, the first poem in the book, states this. Would you, maybe it'd be a good idea to read that and discuss it afterward. And by the way, when you did your reading, there was such a minimal amount of setup that it was really refreshing to hear you let the poems speak for themselves. I'm very grateful for that.
Thank you. The Family Album. Call it Blood Memory, for I am the only one left to identify by name the ancestors. I am the only one left of the women who sat around grandmother's oak table and wove the stories of who and where, who knows the half of it and when. I am the answer to the question my mother's sister swallowed. What will you do with that child? I know now that I am here to give voice to tongues never silent and doors closing too quickly. I am of the age where death comes easily and visits often in those little obit notes of passing, reminding us how we've neglected dear ones, now lived again through fading pictures stuck to crumbling pages. I buy tickets to places I may never visit, spend hours trying to remember if the image stuck in my head has origins in a dream or some foggy night slipping past almost unnoticed. I am the last female of a family of women who wove the fabric of stories into doilies and slipcovers. I am the child with sparrow legs, sock heels stuck halfway in her shoes, drinking the last of metaphors left in teacups on the table unattended.
I think about that, and I think about what you're revealing here, and the fact that the book is dedicated to your mother, who lived age 100.
101.
101, right? And 183 years of history in just your generation and the previous one.
Yeah.
And so much that has happened, so much change in that time. It's just stunning to think about it. I'm still chewing on the sundown law, you know, and can imagine, you know, maybe go back 80 years or 150 years and some of just stunning to think about what has happened since then and what you've been through and what your line's been through. Later, in fact, near the end of the book, you write, and I remember this story from the reading at the gallery, my mother spoke in cursives, quoting Shakespeare, for any question I'd ask from age 3.
Yes.
Twilight Sleep, the name of that poem. Can you elaborate? You don't have to read the poem necessarily, but if you can elaborate on that.
My mother had been a Shakespeare scholar, or Shakespearean scholar, I guess, she quoted Shakespeare to me from infancy on up. I went into kindergarten knowing soliloquies, and, you know, the kids thought I was a little batty because I would say things, what is this I see before me? It's handled toward my hand. Come, let me clutch thee. And they thought, maybe you're a little bit strange here. but I was sort of inundated with Shakespeare. I don't remember when she let me know what that source was. But I do remember that she used that often. And sometimes, I thought unnecessarily, if I wanted to go out, I could just never ask, can I go out? Because it was out, out, brief candle, life is but a walking shadow. You know, I'd have to get the whole bit. But somewhere in there, it sparked my sense of how language sounded. And also because I was born at a time when the world was at war, and so all the men were away, either working or in the service.
Or liberating Dachau.
Yes, and liberating Dachau, yes. My father's unit was one of the ones that got to Dachau before everyone else got there. So I would sit under my grandmother's dining room table and listen, and sometimes I couldn't actually make out the words, but I could hear the pattern. And because my mother had quoted Shakespeare, I knew how that phrase sounded. I did not have a word for it. I didn't know I am from dactyl, but I knew how it sounded.
Right. Do you remember what age you were when you finally... I'm assuming you appreciate that she did that. Maybe I should say that first of all. Did you ever come to a time where you appreciated her?
Not really.
No. See, so I should have asked that question.
For her, it was a great cloaking device. You know, it allowed her to make decisions or to make proclamations without having to explain. Because she could just go into that soliloquy or whatever it was without having to be accountable.
And here you are, a poet. There yes. must have been a time when you thought it wasn't so bad that you did that.
I'm not sure. My grandfather, who lived until I was about 8 or so, would come home and would read to me. We would sit in the window seat. And he would read to me from whatever book he found available. My mother says he read to me from Little People Who Did Great Things. I don't remember that, but I assume he did. But he had a set of leather-bound books. He did not read to me the Maupassant that I got with my Aunt Jenny. Mm-hmm. And I found it was risque, and so I loved it. But all of this came together, I guess. The fact that my mother and her sisters were great storytellers, and they could do variations on the same story. So these poems are how I have picked together a story. But I may have heard that story or variations of it 12 or 13 times.
Right.